didn't preach this 25 years ago. How many's got a cell phone? How many's ever looked down at your cell phone and thought, oh, Lord, I'm at 2%? Somebody say amen. Let me know y'all with me. Somebody told me a while ago, said, you had to preach hard because we ate a big breakfast. You got your cell phone and you look down, you're at 2%, Melvin, and you run to that charger and you plug that phone in and yours make a little noise or it had a little lightning bolt at the top. You realize that cell phone is at 2%, but that charge is ultimately got all the power in the world it'll ever need. You understand? You are the cell phone. My God, plugged into the right thing, amen. I'm just telling you, understand this. Hey, he was God. Even in his weakness, he was still God. Amen. Jesus was in the storm, but he was still God. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 38 and 39, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillar. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now listen to this. I never thought about this. The storm did not scare Jesus. Their faithlessness did. Do you hear what I said? The storm did not scare Jesus. Their fear and their faithlessness did. He was in the storm, and let me ask you a question. Hypothetically, and you got to understand, I know he's God, and I know the storm did not keep Jesus awake. Amen. Jesus slept in the storm. Yeah. What woke him up? Their fear. Right. Now, hypothetically, let me ask you this. What you got going on in your life that's keeping Jesus up? Think about that. What you got going on in your life? What are you so afraid of? What's going on in your, what kind of situation are you in that Jesus can't get some sleep in your storm? See, that's the problem. We're scared to death. Stuff going on, and when we get right down to the bottom, to the nitty-gritty of the whole thing, the storm obeyed him. The disciples didn't. The disciples were afraid of the storm, but the storm was afraid of Jesus. Yeah. Amen? You got to understand something. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know how hard it is at your house. Like I said, everybody's not having a great Christmas. Everybody's not sitting on top of the mountain. Hey, some folks in the valley this morning. Hey, some folks hurting this morning. And you got to understand something. You're in the storm of your life, it feels like. But I'm telling you, there's one with you. Amen? Yeah, he's asleep in the storm. It's not scaring him. It didn't overwhelm him. He's not afraid of it. And I'm telling you right now, on the authority of God's word, he can speak to that storm. Thought about it as I was studying this, and me and Miss Nikki was talking about this before church. Talking about, she said she'd love to go on vacation, you know, to places, but she said, I'm afraid of flying. She said, I had a bad experience. Anybody else ever had a bad experience on a flight? Several hands going up. How many of y'all ever flew? How many of y'all ever experienced any turbulence? How many of you got scared when you felt that turbulence the first time? You know who wasn't scared? The pilot. Because he knew what that plane could do. He knew that plane is made for that. You know who's not scared in your storm? Jesus. Amen. Jesus knows what we can take. Jesus knows what we can't take. And he said in his word, I'll not put no more on you than you can bear. And thank God, hey, he knows what's going on. He knows how deep the waves is. He knows how deep the water is in the boat. Amen. He knows what we're going through. And understand, he's in the boat with you. Jesus was placed in. Think about that. Now, death touched him, but couldn't hold him. I always get a picture, Melvin, in my mind, Brother Tony. I always get this picture, especially when we do our Easter play. We always get this picture of all the demons and the devil just rejoicing and having a good time and having a party. And on the first day he was in there, oh, can't you just see him in hell high-fiving each other? High-fiving, the devil said, you got him. Time on the second day, oh, you got him this time. And then on that third morning, somebody comes to him and say, hey, we got a problem. We got a problem. What you mean we got a problem? He ain't there no more. Amen. Death got a hold to him, but glory to God, it could not hold him. And then I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out there too. Death might have got a hold to him, but he had to give up the ghost. They could not kill him. He was God in the flesh, and they could not kill him. He had to bow his head, and the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Amen. They put him inside that tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. Why? Because he's still God, amen. I thought about it. You know, the great, that tomb was almost like a hotel for Jesus. It wasn't home. He was just going to use it just for a little while, amen. Jesus ascended into heaven, but he's still the same. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus ascended into heaven, but he's still the same. Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus may have left us, but he left himself behind. It's called the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus might have left us, but he still rules from heaven just like he did. In other words, Brother Charlie, when he was on this earth, he spoke to the storm, and the storm obeyed. He spoke to the dead, and the dead came back to life. He spoke to those that were sick, and the sick got healed. Guess what? He's still doing that today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and I. And I'm telling you right now, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in your body, whatever's going on in your family, Jesus can take care of it from where he's at. Amen. I can't tell you how many times people have come around this altar and got anointed with oil. I'll never forget, we had a revival or something going on one night. One of our church members came down. Preacher Jack Lasseter was preaching, and he came down and got anointed. And Preacher Jack Lasseter said this. He said, I had my eyes closed. He said, but I saw something move. He said, and I felt something. He looked at that man, he said, God's healed you. Come on. Well, how can he do that sitting on the right hand, at the right hand of the Father? Because he's God. Amen. Remember I told you he exists outside of time? Yeah. Amen. He knew everything you were going to face this year. He knew every sickness you were going to face this year. He knew every death you were going to face this year. He already had a plan to bring you through it. Amen. He ascended into heaven, but he still walks among us today. So how you know, preacher? Because I've already failed him this morning. Amen. I failed him yesterday, amen. Amen. I failed him the day before that. If you hadn't failed him in a while, there's something wrong. See, you think about all the prayers that Jesus answered while he was walking around in the flesh. Every time somebody came to him, Brother Tony, in faith, he never turned them away. Jairus comes to Jesus. He said, my daughter is laying at the point of death, and would you come? And Jesus is following Jairus home. The woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus stops and heals her. Somebody comes up and says, don't bother the master no more. Your daughter died. Jesus said, hey, be not afraid, only believe. Jesus goes to Jairus' house, speaks the word, and she comes back to life. Amen. Amen. He's still doing that today. He's still answering prayers today. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Glory to God. Hey, but understand this. The same way he left is the same way he's coming back. And he is coming back. You hear me? He is coming back. Whether you're ready or not, amen, he's coming back. Amen. Now listen, I had several people this past week Ask me, and you probably have too, each one of them. Are you ready for Christmas? 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 Any of y'all, anybody asked you that? Are you ready for Christmas? Well, guess what? It's coming whether you like it or not. Amen. The only difference is you know when Christmas is coming. You don't know when Jesus is coming. When he walked this earth, he preached and he told them, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised on the third day. He told them. He also told them, I'm coming again. So let me just go ahead and lay something real plain for you. How many of y'all realize that just about every prophecy that's in the Old Testament has already come to pass? Amen. Amen. Now, if all that was true, don't it stand to reason that everything else is true? Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to meet him?
Come on, preacher.
Amen. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. Are you ready to meet him? They weren't ready for Jesus to leave, and some ain't going to be ready when he comes back. Amen. The thing is, are you ready?
Yeah.
Now listen, if he was God in the manger, and he was, if he was God on the cross,
amen,
and he was God in the tomb, he was God when he ascended into heaven, he's still God today,
amen,
and he's God over your situation.
Amen.
What's going on in your life, hypothetically again, because I know what the Bible says, what's going on in your life right now that's keeping Jesus awake?
Amen.
What are you afraid of? What are you holding on to? There's somebody in this building right now, you need to be saved. With a crowd this big, guarantee there's somebody here that's not ready to meet the Lord.
Amen.
What are you holding on to that's worth going to hell for?
Amen.
Preacher, this ain't much of a Christmas sermon. Oh, yes, it is. This is a great Christmas sermon. Amen.
Amen.
The truth's welcome. So, Christian, let me ask you this. Christian, what kind of situation are you dealing with that you need help on this morning? And if you're here this morning and you're backslid, you're not where you need to be, what's going on in your life? And maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never been saved, and you know that if something were to happen to you right now, you could not make heaven your home. This altar's open.
Amen.
Brother Robert, can you come sing, Please Forgive Me? Think about that. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you listen. Jesus died for you. He let them put himself on that cross.
Amen.
He took every blow. He took every spit in his face. He took every whip on his back just for you.
Amen.
I think Sharon sings the song, He Was Born to Die. That's what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
Had he not been born, he would not have been able to go to the cross.
Amen.
And like that song we sing, Remember Me. Christian, what's going on in your life? God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, for your blessings. Holy Spirit, move in this building right now. Lord, if there's a Christian here, God, they're struggling with something. God, they're going through something. Lord, please help them to get on this altar. God, just turn it over to you. And Lord, if there's a one here that's not been where they need to be, God, they're backslid. They're not where they need to be. God, help them to get on this altar. God, 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, if there's one that's not saved, burden that heart, God. Help them to realize that today's the day of salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, let's stand.